It is my joy this morning also to welcome as our guest speaker, Grand Chaplain, Worshipable Brother, the Reverend Ron Johnson. We're glad to have him here this morning with us. He's busy. I know that he was up speaking in Rathfrieland on Friday evening at an Orange service, and then he's heading on this afternoon to a service in Monysleam as well. So we thank him for willing to come this afternoon, and we're going to hand the meeting over now to him to bring the message that God has laid upon his heart.
Thank you very much, Reverend Murray, for that welcome. It is good to be back in Lurgan today, and District Master, officers, brethren, it's a joy to speak to you today, and sisters, I should say, as well. And it is good to be here. Psalm 45, tremendous psalm, very appropriate for this year, and of course at all times. But in Psalm 45, verse 1, you have the text of Scripture that I want to focus upon. Psalm 45, verse 1, the writer says this, Psalm 45, 1, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king, the monarch. Of course, we don't have a king, we have a queen, but it's monarch. I speak of the things touching the monarch. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these hymns we've already been singing, for the reading of thy word, for the freedom that we have to be here today. And we do thank thee for this wonderful psalm that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great creator, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the King of righteousness, the King of glory, the everlasting King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we pray that we would even see him this morning in our thoughts and in our study. So be with us now, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. In this Platinum Jubilee year, 70 years reign of Her Majesty the Queen, I want to focus upon the logo on your standard and on a banner. There'll be a slide coming up there on your lodge banner. Got it from the internet there on the Facebook, because it has the Bible and the crown. The Bible and the crown. And they're known as one of the symbols of Orangeism, the most important symbol in the Orange Institution, the Bible and the crown. And that's the emphasis today. Why is this upon your standard and your banner? Why is it upon this platinum tie? This is the tie the Grand Lodge brought out for this year. They're always bringing out ties. I can't afford them all. But this is the one for this year, and the various symbols of nations over which Her Majesty reigns. And you'll see, well, maybe not too far away for you, at the bottom it has the Bible and the crown. The crown, the monarch, the king, the queen, resting upon the Scripture. Now, we know that Psalm 45 is primarily speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we call prophecy, written hundreds of years before, and is pointing forward to the one who would be born in Bethlehem, who will be the perfect king, the King of kings. And all the Bible is about him. In fact, later on, you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Some of this psalm is actually quoted specifically saying that this is Christ. So this psalm is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the king. But nationally, it had an immediate aspect, and most believe it's to do with King Solomon. Coronation, then a wedding. And so you have the prophetic pointing to Christ, and you have the national. And we want to do that this morning. We're going to talk about the national, how we rejoice that we're British citizens and having a queen such as we have. But then we're looking primarily to Christ. That's the purpose this morning, the Bible and the crown. Just very quickly, I was asked recently by a young fella, why do we have a queen? Some countries don't. Well, our queen is a special queen. Many countries have kings and queens, and history have had them, but our queen is a constitutional monarch. A constitutional monarch. Here's what that means. Just very quickly, I don't want to be a history lesson, but it is so important we grasp this. Many centuries ago, there was what was known as the doctrine or teaching of the divine right of kings. In other words, the king and queen must be obeyed in everything. If they say something, you must obey. And so you had people in our history, like a lady, Queen Mary. She's known as Bloody Mary in history books. And those who were Protestant, some of them were put to death. The first Protestant, that's Anglican Archbishop Cranmer. Bishops like Latimer, Ridley, Hooper, Bradford. A lady, Lady Anne Askew, she was a noble lady. She was put to death. You know why? She wouldn't attend the Roman Catholic Mass. And when she was asked, was Christ present in that piece of bread? She says, no, Christ died once for our sins. And she was burnt at the stake. She was burnt at the stake. And then you jump forward to the period that we know, 1680s, Charles, and then his brother, King James, especially James, persecuted those who believed as we believe. He refused to have the Bible at his coronation. And again, our forefathers were persecuted. Maybe you've heard of John Bunyan. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He was put in jail. You know why? Awful crime. He preached the gospel to the Baptist congregation. And the king ordered, you're not to have those services. You must attend the state church. You must worship the way I say. Over in Scotland, and many of our ancestors came from Scotland, they're known as Covenanters, Presbyterians, they were told they couldn't worship according to this book and their conscience. And so they go into the fields and the heather. And sometimes I'm sure it was in the rain. So don't feel too bad walking in the rain. I was soaked on Friday night. I had to cut the parade short. It was awful. And some of them were put to death. One man, John Brown, they found him in his house with a Bible open, teaching it. He was shot for daring to have a Bible and to read it. Hard to believe, isn't it? And the two Marys, if you go to Scotland on the ferry, make sure if you're going down to England to stop at Wigtown, go out and see the monument there in the sand, where a lady, I think she was 57, late 50s, and a girl in her late teens, they were drowned as the Solway Sea came up. Why? Because they wouldn't attend the state church and they refused to recognize the king as head of the church. Now, the people cried out, oh God, send the deliverer. Oh Lord, give us liberty to worship. And in England, seven bishops were put in jail. And James was such a tyrant that even common people who were not Christians were turned completely against him. And so in London, our forefathers went around singing a wonderful, wonderful song. Maybe you know it. Rock-a-bye baby on a treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will fall baby, cradle and all. Now, by the way, don't believe everything you read in Wikipedia. The classic books on the life of King William, Van der Zee, Ivet, and many others, they point out that's the wording that was sung by our forefathers. What they were saying was, have you ever seen a family tree of your family, your granda and great-granda and all this? Well, the bough that represented King James, and it had been announced that his wife had a son who would be the next heir, more Roman Catholic rulers, would be cut off with a Protestant wind, William. And so James would no longer be on the throne, and his successor, Bonnie Prince Charlie, would never reign on the throne. And the wind did come. You know the story. I'll just cut it off now. William came, and William and Mary, of course, James's son, but brought up a Protestant, they became king and queen. But, on condition, they signed a document. And one of the most important historical documents in world history. Yes, don't tell the Orangeism is just something not important and William and so on. The Bill of Rights. They consented to be monarchs on condition there would be freedom of worship for everybody. Sometimes people say it's sectarian when we say the king or queen has to be Protestant. No, it's not. Because Protestantism offers liberty of worship to all people. Even though we disagree, liberty of worship to everyone according to their conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of an independent judiciary, that the king couldn't just have you arrested and put in jail without trial. Freedoms that we take for granted today. And ever since then, our queen is in that succession, and we thank God for the constitutional monarchy that we have. Well, back to Psalm 45. Verse 1, my heart isn't dead in a good matter. What he means is, I'm stirred up. I'm thrilled to speak about the king. And I am thrilled in two ways. I'm thrilled to think of our queen, and we think of the platinum, and there should be a logo now, the next slide, of the platinum jubilee. We're 70 years, and we rejoice that she's such a long reign, that God has been so good to her, and so good to us, having a gracious lady. We don't agree with everything she's done, but she's our monarch. We respect her. And by the way, you know what really gets me mad? That's why I don't listen to these phone-in programs a lot, because I get mad. You know, I hear some of our enemies that talk about the English queen. Do you know Queen Elizabeth was never crowned as Queen of England? She was crowned as Queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. She's not an English queen. Well, in one sense, she rules over the whole United Kingdom. She's our queen. Because as that logo shows, you can see the on it, can't you? The daffodil for Wales, the rose for England, the thistle, yes, you pipe band ones to know, for Scotland, and the shamrock, just like our flag, the cross of St. Patrick. She's our queen. She's my queen. And we do thank God for her. Thank God for her. The interesting thing about her queen's coronation, as I want to talk to you just briefly, it's amazing, because there's a verse in Scripture in 2 Kings, chapter 11. It should be on the screen in a moment. And it says, this is how kings were crowned in the Old Testament. This is just one verse. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him. He was crowned. Gave him the testimony, gave him the copy of Scripture, the law. And they made him king, enthroned him, and anointed him. See the anointing? And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. Now, when our queen coronation service, there was an order of service printed, different sort of copies of it, and they're, of course, worth a lot, and there should be a slide now of one of them, the one that the royals and the very important people used in a sort of a book. There was others for the 8,000 who were there at the coronation. But the order is very, very interesting. You know why? Our Queen's coronation, it wasn't a political or national thing as such, that was part of it, but it was a spiritual worship service. And you know, it followed the order of how kings of Israel were crowned. And much of it was based upon the passage that was read, Psalm 45. And if you go on the internet and look through the order of service, the psalms that were sung by choirs and so on, the prayers, the words, the scriptures read, it is from the scripture. Now, before the service could take place, you had to go to the Houses of Parliament. And in front of the MPs and the Lords, you know what you had to do? There's an oath. You'll be able to read it in a moment. She had to sign an oath, and this is the actual signature. She had to sign that I, Elizabeth, do solemnly and sincerely in the presence of God, profess, testify, and declare that I'm a faithful Protestant and that I will, according to the true intent of the enactments which secure the Protestant succession to the throne, uphold and maintain the said enactments to the best of my powers according to law. Well, some months later, the coronation took place. It was some parade. 30,000 walked in the procession to go to the Abbey of Westminster. And there were some preliminaries. And do you know what the first preliminary was? She put her hand upon a Bible, and she took an oath, same, very similar to the one, that I am a Protestant, will defend the gospel. And then she kissed the Bible to confirm her solemn oath. And then it began. Now, she wore crown jewels that day, and crown jewels. I looked this up. Any is good at miles? They're estimated to be worth $3 to $5 billion. Didn't say million, billion. They were brought out that day for her coronation. She wore some of them and so on. Some of them were on the items given. But that wasn't the most valuable thing she was given. You have the most valuable thing in front of you on the screen. Now, the coronation hasn't really started yet. This is the preliminary. And they brought forth that that you see there. There's only two copies actually like that. There were 20 other special ones bound. But it's kept where people can go and see it behind glass. And they came and they presented it and they said, "O gracious Queen, to keep your majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God, the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, we present you this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." Do you know, today we're able to meet here with the most valuable thing in the world. It's this book. Remember I said there's a time where people weren't allowed to have this book or read it? And Her Majesty was told, here's the most important thing in life. How important is it to you? Do you read it? Do you study it? Thank God that in Lurgan Free Church here, you have a minister who preaches the word. How thankful you ought to be that you have an able minister of the word of God. So that was given before it even started. And of course, that is why we have this symbol, and it's on many of our banners. And there's other banners, junior banners, of something similar. You should see a picture now of another lodge down in County Armagh. And you see clearly the Bible and the crown and the sword and the scepter. And that's a very interesting symbol. I come from Belfast, not a County Armagh person, so you have to forgive me coming into County Armagh. And you stole the parade on us this, well, and it used to be the Belfast parade was always on the BBC, but it's going to be your parade. It's going to be on the GB News. But we'll forgive you for that and hope it comes back to Belfast next year. Now, we don't mind. But Belfast, if you ever go and tour the City Hall, they have what they call a charter. In other words, Queen Victoria in the 1880s made Belfast a city. Remember in the news, Bangor's become a city. What, I don't know if it's actually happened as yet, but they've been told they're getting a charter from Queen Elizabeth to be a city. And so if you ever go on a city break, you mightn't have to go EasyJet now. You can just go to Bangor for your city break. Well, I was in it. I didn't know this, but I was in the City Hall. And behind Tuffin Glass, when you go on a tour, they have, you know, I, Victoria Guelph, wasn't Windsor her surname, and so on, Grant to Belfast, and it's got the Royal Standard. But you know what they have at the bottom? I was shocked. I was pleased. They have that very symbol you're looking at. Yes, Queen Victoria in the 1880s. The Bible, the scepter, the sword, and the crown. You see, our monarchy is based on Scripture. The scepter and the sword, it's not just an orange symbol. Let me ask you how much do you appreciate this book, the Bible? Well, let me go through quickly what happened at the ceremony. You saw 2 Kings. First of all, came was called the anointing. Here's what, now there's different things involved in that. And that's Psalm 45, verse 7, if you have your Bible there. The king was anointed with the oil. And you know, the queen wearing a white dress, there was oil poured in her head and palms of her hand and so on. That ceremony was gone through, the anointing. And in Hebrews 1 and 9, it speaks about Christ, our King, being anointed. You see, here's the point I'm making. Do you know the coronation ceremony? Yes, it made our Elizabeth Queen, but it pointed to the greater King of Kings. And it actually was an illustration of the gospel. Do you know Her Majesty And all present that day and all who watched saw the gospel in object form, illustrated. In other words, as she was anointed, they said this, "Strengthen her, O Lord, with the Holy Ghost, the spirit of wisdom and government. As Solomon was anointed, so be thou anointed, blessed and consecrated queen over the people." See, they're following Scripture. But listen very carefully what they read to her as they poured the oil on her head. Listen. "At last may you be made partaker of an eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, as they anointed her, just as they did in the Psalms, they prayed, "Your Majesty, oh, we pray that you will be in the eternal kingdom." So that's the most important issue for the Queen and for every one of us today. Will you be in heaven? Will you be with the King of Kings and his kingdom? And that was said to her Majesty. And then they came and they presented her with a sword. Well, actually, three swords. But one sword with maybe this jewels and so on it. That's verse 3 of Psalm 45. Your verse 4 and 5 where it says, "Justice, righteous judgment." And it was prayed for her that she wouldn't bear the sword in vain. In other words, that she would rule fairly and she would punish evil doers. Do you know when Christ comes back, he's not coming back as a baby in Bethlehem? When Christ comes the second time, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know what the Bible says in Revelation? He's coming with a sharp two-edged sword. Our Queen was given a sword to rule, but there's one in heaven who rules over everyone. And then she was presented with what's called an orb. An orb. Now, round like the world. See all the jewels on it? It's amazing. I'll not read all the different sapphires. And it was actually made away back in 1661. Don't know how much it's worth. And she was presented that. "Receive this orb under the cross and remember that the whole world," that includes her, "is subject to the power and empire of Christ, our Redeemer." Again, she's reminded Christ is King of Kings. That's why we're here today to worship him. And the cross, it reminds us that our great Creator became the servant king. And he came to this earth and went to Calvary and died, took our sins, suffered on Calvary so that we could know him. He is our wonderful Redeemer. Have you willingly bowed before him? And then she received a thing called a scepter. A scepter in Psalm 45. You'll read about that. The scepter. It's in verse 6, I think. And you see that diamond on the... Look at the screen. You see that diamond on the top of it? It's the largest diamond ever discovered, presented by South Africa, the government in the early 1900s. It weighed 1.25 pounds. Now, ladies, you could be looking at your ring there and saying, "That didn't weigh. My man didn't buy me a pound weight of a diamond." That's what it weighs. Now, what does that represent? Well, in Scripture, it's sometimes translated rod. It's the symbol of rule and authority. But as they gave it to her, you know what they prayed? "May you reign forever with the Lord in the life which is to come." See, they kept reminding her that we need to be prepared for heaven. And the rod reminds us that one day the King of Kings is coming and he will rule with a scepter or a rod of iron. In other words, powerful and rule over all. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. And then they put the crown. There was a crown. "God crown you with a crown of glory." Now, I know I'm reading a lot, but bear with me, this is important. You know what they said to her? "We crown you, but oh, that you will have a crown of glory and righteousness, and having a right faith may obtain the crown of an everlasting kingdom by the gift of him whose kingdom endureth forever. The Lord who hath made you queen, make you partaker of the eternal joy in the world to come." Isn't that amazing? They crowned her as queen of the United Kingdom and other realms, but they said, "Your Majesty, remember, there's a more important kingdom than the nation to which we belong. There's an eternal kingdom. And we pray that your majesty may be in that eternal kingdom, but only by the gift. The gift. We don't earn heaven. It's only by faith. Not the gospel. Have you, by faith, trusted Christ as your Savior? That's the question. Well, then she was enthroned, Psalm 45, 6 and 7, thy throne, O God. She was placed upon the throne. And then there was the homage. I'll not keep reading this. I have it in front of me. You know what happened? All the great crowd in Westminster Abbey, first of all, the lords, the peers, her husband, Prince Philip, they came forward and they paid their homage. They swore allegiance to her as their monarch. Oh, clap your hands together, all ye people. Sing unto the Lord with a voice of melody. For the Lord is high and to be feared. He is the great King of all the earth. And then the drums beat, the trumpets blew, the cannons fired from the Tower of London, and the people cheered and cried out, God save the Queen. That's the Queen from the Old Testament, when quite often they cried, God save the King. And that was the great climax. And they sang the national anthem. And then there was the general confession of sins. A prayer was read really saying that we confess our sins. We have sinned grievously against thy divine majesty. O Lord, have mercy upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That was all enacted in front of the Queen. And then this is amazing. They said, hear the comfortable words of Scripture. And four verses were read in full to her. I'll not read them in full. John 3:16, don't you know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was read to her majesty sitting on the throne. 1 John 1:1-2, for he is the propitiation for our sins. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that live. The Queen heard the gospel just as we're hearing it today. Have you responded? Have you come to Christ? Oh, look up the coronation. Read it. It's the gospel in picture form. We pray for Her Majesty. We honor Her Majesty. Now, I have never spoken to the Queen. I've never had a personal audience with the Queen. But one day, and I do remember this day, and I'm thankful for it. I count it an honor. But I put these away and got them out recently. There should be a slide there of a menu. I was invited some years ago and as moderator to the opening. Well, I weren't actually at the opening of the Titanic Center. It was up in the room that's, of course, designed like the Titanic. And there was a lunch. And Her Majesty and Prince Philip came. That she didn't say anything. We all had to be in with security. And actually, the table I was at was so close, as close as the front row, probably closer. Although I had the back this way and she never spoke. But it was an honor. And I have that menu, and two of them actually, and the place name. And I count it an honor and privilege to be in the presence of Her Majesty. But some of you may have talked to her, met her. I have never had that privilege. But I've had the privilege of meeting the King of Kings. And when you trust Him as Savior, you can have an audience with Him at any time. And one day I am going to meet Him. Now, I did something very, you may say, cheeky, but remember, I'm from Belfast. So at the end, they had those menu things sitting in front of you, told you what we ate and so on. And they were still there, and there's bits of shortbread with Titanic on it and so on. And as we got up to leave, people were talking. The Queen had left, of course. And I noticed at the table next to us, there were a lot of these there. And I said to the man in charge, obviously, I said, listen, what's going to happen to those menus? Oh, he says, take any if you want them. This is the one in front of the Queen. Believe it or not. Now, I didn't steal it. I asked, could I have it? Can't prove it. That's the trouble. Or I might have been able to sell it on eBay. But I can't prove it. But that's the one in front of the Queen. You're going away saying that, boy, they are cheeky in Belfast, aren't they, doing that? But you know, just as I finish. It was a privilege. I'd be honored to speak to her sometime. Don't expect to live with the opportunity. But you know, I thank God. I have received a great invitation, and so have you, to be present at the great banquet in heaven, to be at the coronation of the King of Kings. And Revelation 3:21 says an amazing thing, to sit with him on his throne. Isn't that amazing? Not be somewhere away at the back. To sit with him on his throne. But you know something? When you go before Her Majesty on a formal occasion, ours wasn't too formal at lunch. I think it was just morning suits or something they called it. But at very formal occasion, like the coronation, they dress in their robes and so on. You have to be dressed properly. You have to be dressed properly. And to be in heaven, you need to be dressed properly. How do you get the right garments? Well, Revelation 6 pictures when Christ comes, when the king comes with a sword girded upon his thigh, Psalm 45. It says that the great men and the kings of the earth shall cry to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Because none of us can stand before God. It says, who can stand? Not one of us, not one of us in this meeting. Because we're all sinners and God is holy and cannot look upon sin. How then can I stand? And then you look at chapter 7 and there's a great multitude standing with white robes. How did they get those robes? Well, one thing I left out of the order of the service, and you see it in front of you, Her Majesty, because on very, very formal occasions, she wears the most important robe. She actually was given different robes during the coronation. It's called the imperial robe. The imperial robe. And on very, very important occasions, she wears that. That's over her shoulder, the ermine and so on. And you know when they put that over her shoulder? Do you know what they said to her? They quoted Isaiah 61, verse 10. May your majesty be clothed with the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. Isn't that amazing? What does that mean? You see, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We can't be dressed properly in our own. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he's perfectly righteous, never sinned. And there on Calvary, he, as it were, took that our filthiness of our sin. Now, he never became a sinner because he's perfect. He never sinned. But he willingly took my filthy garment, if you like, all my sin, and he bore that penalty and he paid the price. But to be in heaven, I have to be perfect. You know, if you're ever going to be in heaven, you have to be absolutely perfect and righteous. You say, that's impossible. Ah, but here's the gospel news. When you trust Christ as Savior, he has borne all your sins away. And he wraps, as it were, around you the robe of his righteousness. And now when God looks at you, he doesn't see you in your sin, but he sees you as having around you the perfect righteousness of Christ. And so when the King of Kings returns, you'll be welcomed into glory to sit with him at that eternal banquet. Thank you for listening so long to give you that. But we do pray, it's my prayer today, that every one of us, the youngest to the oldest, will have that robe of righteousness to meet the King of Kings.